Maestro Semyon Bychkov, from 1975, when you left Russia, till now, what main things do you feel have changed in you and what had remained the same?
I think that all of us carry the roots of our childhood, of our families, of our nation, regardless of what happens later in life.
Yes.
In my case, I've been very privileged, first, to have been born in Russia, in that culture, in that language. And then I've been very privileged to be able to make my life outside of Russia, first in America, and then later on in Europe, in France namely. And so what has changed? I would say that, of course, so much new came into my personality that perhaps would have never happened had I not been able to become an American and eventually to become a member of the French family, because I'm married to the French pianist, and have a German orchestra in Cologne for 13 years, etc., etc. So I would say that it simply brought so many different roots to what in the beginning was only Russian.
Yes. You've conducted 1,000 times, I think, Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, Wagner's Wesendonck-Lieder, Haydn symphonies, and Brahms' Third Symphony. Do you still discover new meanings in these pieces, Maestro Semyon Bychkov?
Yes, every time. In fact, one of the reasons why I want to come back to reinterpreting music is because those kind of masterpieces will always give me an opportunity to find something new. The music itself remains the same. It hasn't changed. We change.
Yes.
And as we go on in life, suddenly you look and say, my goodness, I have not noticed this way of phrasing this particular transition. I have not noticed this little indication from the composer which influences so much the character with which his music will be performed. And so this, in a way, is the quest of a lifetime. And sometimes one gets angry and frustrated. Why didn't I think about it before? Well, the answer, of course, is very simple. There is no instant coffee in music.
Of course.
Every fruit needs its time to mature. And as long as it does not change, one has to come back again and again to this kind of repertoire, while always, of course, having to enlarge it, because you cannot conduct your whole life the same small circle of pieces. But I always find that it is in genuinely great music, there is always a possibility of finding different ways of interpreting it, which makes it fascinating.
Maestro Bychkov, you said that during your 13 years in Cologne, you finally understood what makes a vibrant recording. Are the microphones really capable to capture the meaning of a piece, the truth of music?
Yes, they are. If we understand, the most important thing is that every recording is a document of that particular moment in which it was made.
Yes.
Not more and not less. In the recording, we are able to do something, to achieve something we cannot really do in the concert, because we can always repeat what we just played. And microphone is our, in a way, best teacher and the worst enemy. It forgives nothing. Every imperfection is immediately audible. Every mistaken tempo is something that we notice when we listen to ourselves, without necessarily performing at that moment. Your perception changes. So in that sense, recording is an opportunity to become better. Is there such thing as the definitive recording? No, because again, it only reflects what an artist feels at the moment of recording. And I would say that the great wish that I have is that years later, listening to a recording made in the past, my wish is to be able to agree with myself as I'm listening to what I did then. And when that happens, then it gives you a sense of satisfaction. It does not happen every day, but at least you understand what you're trying to achieve.
Hamburg's Metropolitan. Milan's La Scala, Wiener Philharmoniker and Berliner Philharmoniker are four great orchestra that you frequently conduct, maestro. In the case of institutions with great tradition, is the institution stronger than the individual?
Institution, by definition, has to be stronger than individual. However, a strong individual will make an institution stronger and will make it richer. How did these great orchestras, one has to mention the other ones, of course, Concertgebouw, Wiener Staatsoper, Covent Garden. How did they all became great institutions? Because of the people, the artists who worked there. And so it's not enough just to think, we are so great because we used to have Mahler as our conductor, or we used to have this or that artist, or we used to have Karajan. No, that was in the past. We have responsibility to what happens today, because that will determine what will happen to these institutions later on. So it is, in a way, a mixture of strong institution and strong individuals who allow the institution to become stronger and stronger.
For a conductor, maestro, one of the most important aspects is that an orchestra must be able to sense, to feel in advance what the conductor wants. But the big question is always, how far in advance?
Well, it depends on the relationship that conductor and an orchestra have.
Yes.
The more time they spend making music together and sharing their life together, the less needs to be said. People begin, you know, it's a family.
Yes.
And I think every person, musician or non-musician, can understand that in the family, people feel each other so well that they can anticipate what the other one will need or how the other one will react to this or that. It is exactly the same kind of dynamics between a conductor and an orchestra. It depends also on the familiarity of the repertoire that one performs. If Wiener Philharmonica lived their whole life with a Brahms symphony, if I have done the same, then we have to meet together, and so it becomes a fusion of so many experiences each one of us had. And when that fusion has had enough time to happen, then we are able to improvise in the performance and suddenly say, okay, in order to get from here to point B, we take another street today. Because we know a lot of streets, and you can only take one in a performance. And so that makes it interesting, it makes it spontaneous, and it makes it, in a way, a mysterious experience, because no one knows in advance how it will be.
In preparing a piece, what is, in your vision, the difference between expressive and emotional?
I think, well, there are, like in everything, there are, if you will, two sides. One is intellectual, if you want to call it maybe analytical, mind. The other one is emotional, heart. And we all know that just one is not enough, however important it is. It has to be a harmony between mind and heart. I would say that probably the most sublime performances can happen when they are led by instinct. But instinct means that you have lived with a piece long enough, that you have thought about it long enough, that you have felt it long enough, that you have suffered it long enough, if it has to be suffered, that you have enjoyed it long enough. At some point, you don't think so much, you just instinctively let your being, let the music flow through your being, and then it comes out in the most spontaneous and natural form, where it becomes sublime. And this is what we always dream to have. The only thing is that you cannot, it's like weather, you cannot order the sunshine. It will come when it chooses to.
Yes. What would be the greatest virtue in a conductor, Maestro Semyon Bychkov?
Well, there are many virtues one must have. I think it is, well, it's very difficult to say one, because there are so many that are needed. One has to be a leader, and to be a leader, you have to convince your colleagues with the vision of music that you play with them, which is so compelling that they want to share it. But you also have to show them, well, it's more than respect. You have to show them sensitivity that their visions that they have and they do are very important, And if they are compelling, if they are convincing, that you become part of that. And when they sense that, they will do anything for you. So we are talking about many qualities. Some of them are purely artistic, and some of them are, of course, human, because in the end we have to live together.
Yes. My final question, Maestro, is after so many successful concerts and recordings, how would you describe your extraordinary journey through music and life?
I don't know how to describe it except to say that it is a privilege which makes you happy to be alive, because there is no distinction for me between life and music. It is one and the same.
Yes. Thank you very much, Maestro. It was an honor. Thank you.
Thank you.